Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So today I'm announcing my resignation from Congress.
Yeah! Bye-bye, pervert!
So did you know that that was not a random heckler at Anthony Weiner's resignation announcement? No, not a private citizen genuinely outraged at his congressman's textploits. No, it was a producer for Howard Stern, apparently planting material for this morning's show. Showbiz bottom feeding. But he probably got what he wanted. Maybe it'll even stave off satellite radio's demise. Who knows? So here comes the next congressman from Brooklyn and Queens. But who and how? And at a time when the Democrats need every vote they can get in the House of Representatives, how long will the interim period be? Did you know that although Weiner announced that he will resign, he did not yet actually resign? So maybe if some close, crucial vote were to come up, who knows? And by the way, Weiner only got reelected 60-40% last year. So hypothetically, the right Republican could even be competitive when special election time comes around. Reporter Anna Sale from our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, is here to talk about what comes next. Hi, Anna.
Hi.
And listeners, feel free to nominate someone to run for Weiner's seat, Democrat, Republican, or other. They do have to live in the district. Or throw your own hat into the ring and give us your 30-second campaign speech. And also, let's make this last call for your thoughts on Wienergate. Anything you want to say about the congressman's legacy, his downfall, or the politics that forced him out, or whatever related to him, 212-433-WNYC right now, 212-433-9692, or on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. So, Anna, a New York State special congressional election to replace a congressman who resigned for posting suggestive pictures of himself. Why does this sound so familiar?
I know. We were just talking about this in May when the upstate district, New York 26, was going through the exact same thing. In that case, that was Republican Chris Lee, the shirtless photo that he sent in response to a Craigslist ad. He resigns. It's a historically Republican district. And then, surprisingly, a Democrat comes in, wins the race, and now that district is represented by a Democrat.
So the Republican and a Tea Party candidate split the more conservative
vote.
That's
right, and Medicare became a huge issue.
So technically, how did it work in upstate New York 26, and how will it work here in the city?
Well, interestingly, a lot of the conversation about Weiner's district this morning is about redistricting, that this district may not even exist. So this special election might just be, you know, just for giggles and not really have much meaning after this.
For a six-month temporary
exactly,
job.
Exactly. That was the same conversation happening in the 26th district because New York is losing two seats. One is thought to maybe come from upstate. One maybe come from downstate. So in New York 26, when these candidates were figuring out if they wanted to ask to be considered by the parties to be candidates, they were thinking, is this the right time to do this? Kathy Hochul, the now congresswoman, she was a county clerk. Did it make sense to say, I want to be a congresswoman? And she made that gamble, and it worked out for her, though she may also be redistricted out.
Yeah, and it's just the coincidence. Listeners, if you're wondering why we're talking about these districts ceasing to exist, the coincidence is that there is a once-a-decade redistricting process, and it takes place the year after the census. So right now, New York didn't grow as fast as some other states, so New York is losing two congressional seats, and the state legislature will figure out how those seats get apportioned. And so at the moment, you know, whoever's weak probably loses in their area, and who's weaker than Anthony Weiner right now or whoever represents that district.
Yeah, or somebody who's not elected in a regular election. So now the question gets to be, what's a special election going to be like? And first the question is, when is Governor Cuomo going to call a special election? Because he has a lot of discretion about when he chooses to do that. Once he calls it, there's got to be 70 to 80 days notice. So it's likely that it'll be sometime in September, maybe September 13th, which is when there's already a scheduled primary in the city. So that may be when the race is. And then the question is, who will be on the ballot? And there are no primaries in special elections. The nominations are done by the parties, the party chairs in this Queens and Brooklyn district. So you've got the Queens County chair and the Brooklyn County chair.
And we should mention that these are Congressman Joe Crowley in Queens is the Democratic mm-hmm. Party leader there. And in Brooklyn, it's Assemblyman Vito Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
These are both big power brokers in their counties, in their boroughs. And presumably they would want different people.
Exactly. They want different people. And then they have to do the calculation of if we choose a really strong candidate, then maybe some of the representatives in the surrounding districts are going to be a little nervous come redistricting time. So there's a calculation there of maybe there's an argument for just picking a party loyalist who would just want to be in the sun for a minute, get some national exposure for the special election, and then would be okay with being redistricted out.
A caretaker congressman. By the way, this is the 9th congressional district of New York State, which includes... Here comes the list, courtesy of Wikipedia. You ready? Maspeth, Fresh Meadows, Glendale, Howard Beach, Kew Gardens Hills, Middle Village, Forest Hills, Ozone Park, Ridgewood, Rego Park, Rockaway Beach, and Woodhaven in Queens, Flatlands, Garretson Beach, Marine Park, Midwood, Mill Basin, and Sheepshead Bay in Brooklyn. There you go. If you live in this district, you know who you are.
It's a very strangely shaped district, yes.
And before we do the names of people who've been identified as some of the front runners. Let's take a call or two. And Ryan in Dover thinks I made a mistake about who's qualified to run. Ryan, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Brian. Actually, by the U.S. Constitution, anyone that lives in the state of New York could run. Now, obviously, anybody who lives outside of Brooklyn or Queens would probably be at a huge disadvantage, but you don't have to actually live in a congressional district to run for that seat.
Thank you very much. That's actually news to me. Anna, do you know it to be true?
That was actually the case with Kathy Hochul, who won that special election. She lived outside the district, and when she won, she said, I'm going to move in the district very soon. So that is actually true.
Dennis Kucinich, what are you doing? No, I guess he doesn't live in New York State, but as many of you know, he's considering moving to Seattle because his Cleveland district is likely to be districted out of existence. So that's another story. All right. Some of these names. Reading from the list of Democrats in the Times today, it says the three favorites in the Democratic primary, according to consultants, are Melinda Katz, a former councilwoman who lost to Weiner in 1998, Assemblyman Rory Lantzman, and Councilman Mark Weprin. Other possibilities include State Senator Jose Peralta, former Councilman Eric Joya, former Councilman Noach Deer, and Councilwoman Elizabeth Crowley, whose cousin is the congressman and party leader in Queens, Joe Crowley. So it's like half the city council wants to run for this congressional district.
And I think what's interesting when you look at that list, you have Councilmember Mark Weprin, who's got deep roots, his family roots in Queens. Then you've got the Crowley family connection. And again, this is up to the party bosses. They pick the folks. So these relationships are very important. This isn't going to go to the voters for a primary.
And on the Republican side, the Times says Councilman Eric Ulrich and Bob Turner, a television executive who grabbed an unexpectedly high 40% of the vote last November against Mr. Weiner.
And Bob Turner showed up. He wrote a piece for National Journal a couple weeks ago as this controversy was starting to spiral. So he might be interested in just getting back in it.
Why did that district go only 60-40 for Weiner last year? Is this known? I mean, typically in all blue New York, incumbent Democrats in the city win basically unchallenged with like 80% or something.
Well, I think that's something that you sort of saw watching that press conference yesterday. Anthony Weiner, his national profile was as this liberal firebrand who was going to come out swinging from the left, take on Obama, take on the House Republicans. But the district itself is middle class. There's some senior citizens. It's not just, you know, dyed-in-the-wool liberals there. So that could have been some of what was happening with the 60-40.
A lot of mostly white neighborhoods on that list that I read. There's also, you know, the legacy of Weiner himself. People forget when he was running in the mayoral primary in 2005, he was sort of the white ethnic outer borough conservative candidate running against Fernando Ferrer and some of the others who were seen as more classically, you know, multicultural and liberal. And then all of a sudden, something changed. After he passed that moment, was getting ready to presumably try to run for mayor again sometime in the future, but then he became this liberal firebrand on health care and opposing the Republicans generally in Congress in his YouTube videos on the House floor, on MSNBC, all of that. But that was somewhat of a change of image for Anthony Weiner.
The power of the political brand via Twitter.
Mike, and a rise and fall via yes. Twitter. Mike in Greenpoint, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mike. Mike, you there? Oh, we're not hearing Mike. Okay, let's try somebody else. Louise in the district in Midwood. You're on WNYC. Hey, Louise.
Hi. Hi, Brian. You must be sick of hearing from me. I have a question for Anna, actually. Is it absolutely necessary that the governor order a special election? Because it seems to me extremely costly when we may be out of the running next year when they redistrict in this area. I'm in Midwood. Why spend all that money now? Why can't we just have a regular election in November?
It's an interesting question. And Louise, I am not sick of hearing from you. In fact, you better promise to keep calling after the Anthony Weiner saga is over, because I think this is what made you, you know, rise up and get your voice out there. So you have to promise to keep calling afterwards. But Anna, go ahead.
That's a good question, because it's not required that Andrew Cuomo call a special election. He could take no action, and then there would be a primary and then a regular election. But it's thought to be very likely that the governor will do so, because it will be a more controlled environment politically. So from the folks I'm talking to, they're thinking the governor's going to call a special election, and they're thinking that he will time it to happen on September 13th to contain some of those costs, since there's already an election planned in the city that day.
And there is, but this is kind of a funny year to fold something into the regular primary day and election day, because there just are no elections in New York State this year. Once every 4 years this happens, where it's just an off year. The mayor and city council aren't up in the city. The state legislature is not up. It's not a presidential or a congressional year. There just are no elections. It's a big election year in New Jersey. The whole state legislature is up. It's going to be a big referendum on Christie. But in New York, there's no election. So it becomes, in effect, a special election, even though I guess the infrastructure is there.
Yeah, it could be the case. I mean, remember in New York 26 how just in the few weeks before that election, it became a huge national story. So it could be that if this becomes an actual race and outside groups get involved, that that could then drive turnout for other races.
Only if there's a competitive Republican.
Exactly.
I don't think an intra-democratic fight would rise to that level. David in Morningside Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
All right, what you got?
I had one quick question. If somebody runs in a special election, is victorious, and serves in Congress just to fill out the term and then leaves, are they eligible for a congressional pension?
Oh, that's a good question. They can be called a congressperson for the rest of their lives. They can put that on their business card. They are
lifetime membership in the gym, I know.
I did see that this morning, lifetime membership at the gym. And it's, as far as the pension goes, I don't know exactly, but I assume if you serve some time in Congress, you are eligible for some kind of pension based on that, but I don't know that for sure.
All right.
Okay, because then I might run.
You want to give us a 30-second campaign speech, David?
No, I'm good, thanks. I'm going to save it for when I formally announce. Thank you.
Thank you very much. One more. David in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Are you in
a
that district?
To speak to you, actually. I just wanted to comment on the whole Weiner situation and his viability. There's actually a story about a young British officer who was trying to impress his higher-ups and leading a mission. In the process of leading a mission, he ended up ordering his men to fire on and kill two unarmed people, and then tried to cover it up, actually. And then in the process of doing that, he was found out, and the local newspaper read the story and made it quite public and caused him some amount of humiliation.
Where are you going with this?
Since learned from that and actually became George Washington, who's our first president.
Aha. So fallen
Lincoln
leaders
actually shot off his mouth early on to impress his girlfriend that he was dating, and ended up getting challenged to a duel because he, again, hid from it and was publicly accused and then challenged to a duel, which he eventually got out of. But then that taught him a certain amount of humility and what to do with it, and obviously became widely regarded as a successful president. So
fallen
I'm
leaders
that this will teach him.
and fall. David, those are great stories from the past. I mean, if we're talking Washington and Lincoln here, mm-hmm. Anna, fallen leaders can rise again.
I mean, I think that we should just pause and reflect on the human element of this story. This is a very sad story. Anthony Weiner rose up quickly through the ranks of New York politics, was committed to his district through very bad choices and decisions and decisions not to be honest. And we ended up with this sad story. He's dealing with the problems in his family now. He's had to leave his seat. So there is a very sad human element to this. And certainly we have seen politicians resign in complete embarrassment and then come back to host their own shows on cable news. So we probably have not seen the last of Anthony Weiner, but for now we've probably he will probably be away for some time.
Ed Koch predicted 15 years he could come back and enter politics again. I don't know where
formula.
He came up with 15 years, but there you go. Okay. Well, listeners, I know a lot of you in the district do think that he got hounded out by the political agendas of others. And really, when you come down to it, Anna, Nancy Pelosi, as leader of the House Democrats, she didn't want this distraction for other people, not necessarily because she thought what Anthony Weiner did was worse than what other people did or that it was even public rather than private behavior, but she didn't want this distraction for the 2012 election cycle nationally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you had the president weigh in, and once the president weighs in, it's pretty difficult to stay in your seat.
All right. Well, folks, in case you're interested, I'll be talking post-Weiner politics and other things on television tonight as a guest on the New York One Reporters Roundtable. That's around 7:30 and 10:30 tonight on New York One. And our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, is the place for smart coverage of the 2012 presidential race and more. And right now on the site, you can see Anna Sales' article about what comes after Anthony Weiner in that district in Brooklyn and Queens. There's an article headline, Local Party Bosses Will Be Kingmakers for Weiner Replacement, and a whole related package at itsafreecountry.org. It's a Free Country reporter, Anna Sale. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, why Target workers are targeting their company today on Long Island. Turns out the Valley Stream store may be the first Target anywhere to unionize. Stay with us, and we'll talk about it with New York Times labor correspondent Stephen Greenhouse.